Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
And good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat Nation, whenever you're listening to this. I am your R&R Bobcat basketball host, Zach Levere, and today I am joined by the two Ryans of the R&R. Guys, how you doing tonight?
That's so weird, having him read that. I like it. That was good, man. That was smooth.
Thanks.
That was really good. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
On my own, a guest on our own show. I love it.
I like it. Yep.
So I did talk to Foley, trying to come up with a name for this kind of segment, show, whatever we're going to call this. And current clubhouse leader right now is Brickball for Brickbeaten Fieldhouse.
Brickball. I like
which, throwing up bricks, which the Bobcats threw up a lot of bricks last night. So it might work.
Could be a bad omen, really.
Could be a bad omen.
Too easy to make fun of.
But here we are, late November, beginning to shift right before the holiday. To the basketball season with the men's and the women's team, both playing four games early this November. Both teams sitting at 2-2. The women looking pretty good with some pretty quality victories and a quality almost win against BYU. Men's been a little bit of a different story. Roller coaster with a nice little win against Northwest Indian, just crushing them right off the bat as a good tune-up. Losing by 3 to Seattle U on a game that they were so close. And then that awesome victory against Cal, where the three of us were watching that at the end of a football podcast and not paying attention at all. And then last night's unfortunate 10-point comeback with 5 minutes to go that ended in Green Bay eventually beating us by 1 in overtime. Frustrating, frustrating game. I know there's quite a few takeaways, including a lot of guys not playing in the rotation, being quite small going into the break. So a lot of talk about with guys not playing, maybe some injuries, maybe some flu-like symptoms going around. But Bobcats will be right back at UC Riverside tomorrow night. And Green Bay and UC Riverside are playing tonight. I haven't looked at the score of that game, but nice little, I wouldn't call it a tournament, but kind of a little meeting in Bozeman right before the holiday.
It looks like UC Riverside beat Green Bay 74-68. Which is a lot more points than were scored in Bozeman with an overtime.
Well, it wasn't good when you go 7 from 35 from the 3-point line, and one of your guys is 5 from 8, while the rest of the team carries the rest of that stat line.
But at least one guy was 5 for 8.
Robert Ford balled out. That guy's balled out all season. He's really carried this team, and I'm so happy he decided to come back to MSU. That was awesome to see him back. So. New faces, new guys playing and stuff. Sam Lekalot played a lot last night. He contributed a little bit towards the end of last season. I'm really happy to see him play some stuff. I got to meet his parents in Boise last year, and I'm hoping for big things for him going forward.
Right on. Hey, Zach, before we get into too much Bobcat basketball, I was hoping that you could kind of paint a vision for the listener. Like, what do you think the vision for this this journey for you on the R&R for the basketball season? What's that going to look like for us?
Yeah, so our vision going forward is hopefully doing a weekly episode where we can recap, starting with the men's and the women's week in review, see kind of how things went, how kind of what the player injury reports will be at those times, and then what we'll see kind of the good and the bad of the week, as well as then we'll go into the week ahead and any observations of kind of not really scheme, but going into just kind of how we're looking and how the team's performing on that side of things, as well as who we're playing, how they're performing, and kind of not really expectations for the week ahead, but kind of what to expect from the Bobcats going forward.
And I'm excited. We, if you follow the podcast for a while, you know that Ryan and I did it in the COVID year when there was no football. So we decided to become a podcast or a basketball podcast for a minute. So I'm excited to be able to add this on to the show and appreciate you taking the helm on this, taking the reins.
Yep, I will use my astute visions to diagnose scheme and bring a little whiteboard to the game to the show every weekend.
You got to go to the games. So, that's more than we get to say for like hardly any of the podcasting that we do for anything. So,
it's a big, I'm glad you mentioned big leg that. Up. That is something I'm most excited about is you're actually in Bozeman. You are a student at Montana State. You will be attending games, so you will be able to give us a different view than what Ryan and I get to normally see.
Well, from yesterday, you guys probably had the same view as I did. It was pretty dead in that building yesterday going into a break. It was a poor announcer. Bobcat fans, get loud. It's ooh, three claps. Yay. Great day.
It's like a library at that point. You don't want to be the loud one. Like, everyone's so quiet. I don't want to be loud.
It's a tough
I've been in the brick plenty of times before when it's dead in my college career too. Yeah.
You have your loyal fans too. It is kind of funny because my girlfriend who goes to games with me, she's a Gonzaga grad. So she's used to that super high intense when she was in school camping out before the games. And she's like, so you can just walk straight in and that's how it goes.
Yeah. Yep.
I will say shout out to them for unlimited popcorn. They have a $20 popcorn card for season tickets. Oh, it's the best.
For the entire season?
For the entire season. $20 popcorn card gets you unlimited popcorn. And as a college student, I will be surviving off popcorn this winter.
Popcorn dinner.
Popcorn dinner.
Wish my local coffee house did that on Drip Coffee. I've always thought like I would pay a monthly membership just to walk into and like just avoid every aisle or not every aisle. What am I thinking of? Like the line for the baristas. I just want Drip Coffee. Can I just go to the side and just, flash my little badge? I got coffee and then
a coffee badge.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. So let's get into just last night real bit. We'll recap that because it's still kind of fresh on the brain. Bobcats only played, I think, 8 guys throughout the game. The starters played almost the entire game throughout. Mm-hmm. Back and forth throughout halftime and then kind of got away from them in the second half with a pretty fierce little comeback that brought it to overtime. And then they were just so close to pulling it off. But unfortunately, no call, and it was the theme of the night last night, just missed easy shots as well as a lot of missed outside shots. So going into the offense and stuff, I thought the defense played pretty well. We're not a big team. We play a pretty good man to zone ratio, I think, but we're not as thick, if that makes sense. Our team last year was a lot thicker in the paint and a lot more, just bigger overall. So we're going to have to play a more lengthier style of kind of flash when it comes to our defense. But I thought they performed pretty well last night. It was just the offense could not get going at any point, especially in the second half.
No, I mean, it was a pretty ugly game. Both teams couldn't hit anything. Sloppy. Both teams look kind of tired. I mean, Green Bay, I'm looking at their stats here. Their starters went, 5, 8, 11, 1 for 11. Downtown, their starters combined for 1 for 11. That little Rudinger guy, which is of course Rudy Rudinger, is from I'm sure he got that a lot growing up from Rudy. But yeah, man, they shot 3 for 16. We shot for 7 for 35. It was a brick fest at the brick by both squads, 54-53 after an overtime.
That's a low scoring game.
It's a low scoring game, man. Yeah. It's like I scored more points than that in middle school.
Thorny, to your love, Tyler Patterson was 0 for 7 behind the arc and was 1 from 8 for field goals. He played 43 minutes and had 2 points. So not his best performance out there.
I'm rubbing my forehead over here.
Not his best performance, but not. Besides Robert Ford, the whole team kind of just looks sluggish. We'll see. I'm very curious to see how they come out against UC Riverside. I imagine they'll come out a lot better. We'll see. I don't know if it's injury or if it's, at this point, sickness, but we'll see what kind of comes out tomorrow. And I think that will give us a better gauge. Going forward, when something I'm super excited is I have no idea what to think of this team. Because new coach, new systems, no judgments for a very, very long time from me. And there won't be for many, many weeks, if at all, because I'm just curious what this team's going to be. I'm just super excited to see what the new system and the new coaching staff can do.
To me, it seems like this system that Coach Logie is running is predicated way more on shooting the ball.
Yes.
Like with Sprinkle, we were really trying to run our offense through the post. Jabril and then great down in the post. I'm not seeing that. This is more of a run and shoot type of offense from my eyes, where you're going to pass, get the open shot, a lot of threes. How many threes did we take yesterday? Close to 30? And that's been
35.
Yeah, that's been pretty normal for Coach Logie's game so far. That was not the case with Coach Sprinkle's teams. I think, Thorny, help me out on this. We would probably take like maybe 13 to 15 threes with Danny Sprinkle. Is that about right?
I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sometimes we take a little bit more than that. I'm doing the math right here. We're taking 29.74 threes a game so far through the season.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's a lot more. But I don't think, like you said, we don't have that thickness down low, so we're not going to be running our offense through the post. It just seems way different as far as like, okay, anybody can shoot at any time. We're not just going to highlight Raekwon Battle, Jabril Bello, Great Osabor, and then run everything through them. So completely different look. Guys are going to have to get hot and streaky. I think you're going to game, different dudes step up and be the quote unquote heroes for the basketball team. But then like yesterday, like when you're looking at the game flow on ESPN, there's going to be scoring droughts. There's going to be a lot of scoring droughts where you're just going to get flat lines where that little tick mark doesn't go up on the XY graph, where you just flat line. And that's where Montana State really struggled yesterday for the first half of that second half. We really just weren't making any points, and they got up on us like 12 at one point during that run. And without a consistent scorer through the post or somebody who has a hot touch at that moment, Montana State's going to rely on somebody making shots, and it just wasn't there.
I mean, that was a hallmark of a Sprinkle too. We had a 4 or 5 6 minute scoring droughts.
Yeah,
I think we're also going to shoot a lot less free throws this year. Sprinkle's teams were kind of predicated on getting to the line. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Logie's teams are as predicated on getting to the free throw line and shooting that many free throws. I just pulled up here because I was curious. The Cal game, we were 4 from 24 for 3. So, boy, do we love to shoot them, but we're not making them.
No.
Beat a Power 5 team by going 4 for 24 from downtown.
Isn't that incredible?
Crazy game. We almost won this game going 7 for 35.
Yeah. So.
So, I mean, the defense is there. Something else is working.
We played 8 people. I also find it funny, you know, I don't want to compare Coach Logie to it, but, you know, Danny Sprinkle's still fresh in our heads. It was funny because, you know, Sprinkle's just so animated, and Logie has his animations too, I can see. But, boy, Sprinkle was always on the refs. He was always right there, just, you know, that high intensity. And Logie's a little more, like, stoic on the sidelines, walking around, like, he's yelling at the players sometimes, and he's going into that, but it's mostly more of a stoic look, which is a little different, where Sprinkle was a lot more high energy animation, especially towards the refs, which I think has been a little bit of a different kind of first notice of him on the sidelines.
How's Logie's interactions with the players?
I think they're good. He was very sharp on them yesterday, which I think was deserved. I haven't seen a ton on that. In between timeouts and stuff like that, he looks intense, but it looks a lot more, just looks a lot more strategic in a way. It looks like the way he's kind of doing it is it's not really a teaching, but it's more of like a strategic teaching on stuff like that. He had like a lot, quite a bit. Sam didn't play a good game. He was trying a ton. It just wasn't coming there. He had some really bad first half turnovers, which ultimately led where he'd get a rebound and then immediately give it right back. And I know that was really frustrating for Logie in the first half.
Before Sprinkle, we had Coach Fish. Fish was famous for just berating his players. Like he was very vocal, very
hard. He's an angry fish.
angry fish.
And then we had Sprinkle, who was a player's coach. I mean, he could get after the players as well, but he had more of their respect because he loved them. And I'm not saying Fish didn't love his players, but he just came across differently. I haven't seen enough from Logie to know where he falls on that spectrum.
Yep. Logie also, I think, has a better hairstyle. If we're going off our, the R&R fashion report, I'll start with that. Lot of hair gel, but definitely waved to the side. It looks good. It's a good look on him.
He wears a full suit, right?
No, he did not. He was in the typical kind of, I don't know, dress pant or golf pant kind of thing with the pullover.
Okay.
Which I think is now the
For some reason I thought I saw more in a suit. I don't know why I thought that. But
it's a little bit more like Danny Sprinkle.
Yep. Yeah. Same kind of
three-quarter zip thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, on that side, let's just kind of at this point kind of go into the week ahead, or kind of a little past the week ahead. I'm going to go because it's going to be a busy one. We play UC Riverside tomorrow at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. your guys' time. Green Bay and them just played, as we talked about. So finishing this kind of thing, I'd like to see a nice dominating win, and I'd like to see him do a little better from 3-point.
Gonna have to.
I just like to see us turn the corner. It is. So I don't know how they managed this, but Green Bay and UC Riverside both came here, and they little three game kind of mini series where we played the first game and they played each other today, and then we play Riverside tomorrow.
And then we have Long Beach State on the 26th.
Yes, we do.
So we have three game home stretch against famous enough programs, like not like top elite programs, but I think everyone's heard of Green Bay's done some stuff in the tournament here and there. Long Beach State's a classic West Coast program.
So you're just good having some the battle and bear. The battle and bears.
That's right.
Or Batlin Bears next.
Batlin.
That's what I called Northern Colorado.
Yes, you do. Batlin Bears on Thursday. Not this coming Thursday, but the week after the 30th. And then we have a big one against Washington on the 5th of December, which...
Two power five wins in one season, baby.
Two for two. Washington's treading water right now. They could be one of those teams also looking for a coach at the end of the year, which I think... I had that thought that Sprinkle would be maybe a candidate for that job if he performs well at Utah State.
I think it'd be pretty quick for him, for Sprinkle to head up there, but you never know.
Well, cash talks, as we found.
It's true. So. One thing I want to mention here while we're kind of previewing the opponents, and I don't think you've mentioned it yet. Patrick Mahomes is out for the year, man.
Yep. That's well,
or McMahon. Jeez.
Patrick McMahon.
My patty's mixed up. Patrick McMahon. Into the same foot, man. He's out for the entire year again.
All right.
He was probably our best slasher scorer. That's brutal having him out.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough hit. How many points would Patrick Mahomes score for us per game if he played for the Bobcats?
Football?
entertainment, yeah.
I don't know.
He has a year left 70. Of eligibility, and he decides, you know, I'm going to come play basketball. I'm done with the NFL.
Would he score more than Tyler Patterson?
Yes.
He could probably hit some three-pointers.
I love Tyler Patterson. I just can't wait until he just goes off, because he will in this offense. I think he's going to.
It seems primed for him.
Yeah.
I think he'll hit a spark, but even my girlfriend was like, why is he still shooting? And I'm like, I'm glad you noticed that too. I'm really glad you were able to notice that.
Well, that would seem like Logie's empowering him to just let it fly.
Yeah.
Which I think for a guy like Patterson, eventually once it starts going in, I think it'll build some momentum, because he's a good shooter.
Yeah.
You think he is? He scored a ton in high school. His 3-point percentage in high school was really good.
He was a
good
shooter in freshman too. Freshman year, he was really good. He's got length, though. We need his length on the defensive end. He's a good defender.
Yep. Yeah. So another one of my thoughts too is, because the only way we get into the tournament is winning the Big Sky. So unlike a lot of other teams out there and stuff, is the thought of, you don't need to win these games. You just got to win the Big Sky. So treating this as, I think Logie treated it as a developmental game, got some young guys quite a bit of minutes. So it was one of those thoughts that I had, is, you know, get adjusting to this year and kind of expectations and thoughts, is you don't need to win these games. You just got to, you know, get a seat, get a nice little seed going into the Big Sky tournament, see what you can do in the Big Sky tournament. And we've done that. We've proven that the last 2 years, but I'd like to see us win these games, but also trying new things early in the season, I'm completely open to, and seeing what's working, who's there, what's available is understandable. And I think that's something I think Logie's going to use quite a bit in these early preseason games.
Yeah, figuring out who you have, the rotations. It's kind of how it goes. Like, if you're a team that's like primed coming off a championship run, then yeah, you got to win these games, because ultimately that's the only chance you'll ever have of getting more than like a 15 or 16 seed is if you win 20 plus games. So you got to be winning those games in that scenario, but brand new coach, you're right. You can the tournament and lose most of your out of conference games. So they're not impactful for the tournament, like the ultimate March Madness tournament. But yeah, he's got to use these games to kind of get things going heading into conference for sure.
I think realistic expectations for Bobcat fans is to see a team that gradually gets a little bit better throughout the season. And whether we win the Big Sky or not, I think Montana State should just be happy that Coach Logie's here. He's a winner. He's a proven winner. Everybody I talked to over in Spokane, they're like, man, you guys got Logie. He's going to win games. And no, to be honest with you, when you're looking at the talent right now, there's a talent deficit right there. Like,
absolutely.
Going from Sprinkle to this version, like, there's, you know, we have to start building back up again. So there's a little bit of, okay, it might take some time. We might not get to that Big Sky Championship game this year. We might. Who knows what happens? But we have some athleticism deficits, and it's just going to be kind of a growing process this year.
Yep.
Yep. And homework for me going forward is kind of examining the Big Sky.
Yeah.
Seeing what this is going to be this year. I'll have more of that in the coming weeks to look forward to. So I'll leave that little nugget there of just kind of previewing the Big Sky as well, of kind of what to expect, who's going to kind of be the leaders of the league. Expect great things from Weber, as always, storied basketball program. I think they're going to be right there. If not, they have a very talented team going forward.
Yeah, they beat St. Mary's, who was like number 24. Yep. So
very talented team.
Already a big win.
Preseason player of the year. So we'll see how they go, because, gosh, that game against Weber in the semifinals was so much fun last year, but they are a good team. And they did not lose much from last year. Just moving real quick over to the women's side. They play New Mexico on Thanksgiving Day. A little Cancun action. So if you need some Bobcat basketball at 7 p.m. and you're sick of your family on Thanksgiving, head on over to ESPN Plus to watch the women's team play.
So, I might do that. I probably will do that.
Yeah. I want to go to Cancun.
Not because I'm sick of anybody. Maybe.
That sounds good right about now. But Bozeman's had a fantastic. We had a couple weeks of snow and kind of nastiness in late October. But so far, November's been actually really lovely.
Yeah.
So knock on wood for that, but we'll stay forward. Bobcat women, again, back-to-back on Friday, we'll play James Madison, and that will also be in Cancun. So they're down there playing a little holiday tournament, which is nice for them to do. Both New Mexico is 4-0. James Madison is 4-1, so expect stiff competition in both those games for the women going forward. Again, just like the men's team, same coach, Trisha Brentford's been there forever. But a lot of new faces, a lot of new players, and also a brand new kind of coaching staff as well. So be on the lookout for a lot of changes there and a lot of new names to kind of emerge out of the women's program that haven't been there the last couple of years.
Yes.
Watching
the women's games has been more enjoyable than watching the men's games, just because if you just like basketball, just the flow of basketball, the women play a really good brand of basketball.
They do.
For the most part, last year was a little bit of an anomaly, though.
Yeah.
It didn't end well.
They kind of lost it. Yeah. Towards the end of the year, that's what happened.
That's why there are some new assistant coaches, I think. Yep. something happened in the women's team last year that just slowly ate away the team, and they just played worse as the year went on.
Yep. So we'll see how they look. They've looked pretty astute going forward. They had a fun thing I'll mention just kind of early on, where their first home game against BYU, they had a kids day where they had 5,000 elementary school kids there. And I'm just imagining BYU going in and, you know, collegiate game, and, you know, you show up with 5,000 just kids screaming at you while you're trying to make a free throw. That's gonna be a little odd.
It was, the audio was just, it just piercing your ears. just a little nail just being pounded in your ears, just random chants and kids screaming. it's like cute, but also like mute.
Oh man, it's just a fully classroom, just on a daily basis.
Yep. Man, I've been a part of one of those over here in Eastern Washington, and it's just sheer hell at one point, because you got 5,000 kids. Do you guys remember the the dance move called the floss, where the kids would like pull their arms back and forth.
The old Fortnite move.
Yeah. And at one point I looked up and the whole entire stadium was doing that dance. And I was like, I think this is the gates of hell. I was like, I got to get out of here. Like, we're no more.
Gosh, you guys make parenting come alive.
Hey, if my son learns how to floss, I'd be pretty proud of him. Nobody in this family can dance at all. So if you can pull off any kind of dance, dated or not, whatever, knock yourself out, man.
All right.
I have a 13-year-old brother who he was big into that back in the day. He also, side point, being a University of Washington fan too, he's more of a Beaver fan. And so I called him the other day because his birthday's coming up. And I kind of was rubbing the Beaver loss into him. And then he just responded with, how about that 30-point loss to Montana? I was like, oh, can't respond to that one.
You can't talk smack if you can't expect to get it back.
Yep.
And that's why I generally don't talk too much smack, because I don't like to be smacked upon.
We don't talk smack. We just keep receipts.
Yeah. Even then, like if I haven't been out there, like putting out any sort of bold predictions or anything ballsy on anywhere, then I don't really have time. I can't collect too many receipts, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to put something out there if you want to be out there talking trash after a win.
Yeah. All right, guys, you guys got anything else to kind of add going into basketball season, start of the season? Fully, I think you put it pretty nicely with looking for, I think that was you saying about looking for improvement week after week with this team.
Stoked for Coach Logie. I'm stoked for the Bobcats. I'm happy that the players are going to be able to showcase their skills. It looks like Coach Logie is just going to trust guys to make points. He's going to trust them to take a shot when there's a shot there. And I'm excited to see the progress with these players. I'm excited to see more players too, because like you said, we had a lot of guys hurt or sick. I was like, why are we not playing many dudes? And I didn't understand that yesterday. So thanks for the update on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Also fun, not really fun note, but kind of thought, maybe I'm wrong. I got to double check this, but this is the first year we don't have an international player on the team.
Oh, that's crazy. Forever. Such an international program forever.
Yep. So I maybe eventually ask, I hope somebody asked Logie, or just kind of say, you know, what's his kind of recruiting philosophy? I'd love to know that, of kind of, you know, Sprinkle had the assistant coach, his name's skipping my mind right now, who was kind of his big, especially British recruiter for so long, and just kind of seeing what kind of guys he's looking to go after, what's the kind of the talent he's looking for when he's looking for his recruits and stuff. And so I think they'll speak to philosophy and going forward, but we'll see what goes on, especially with recruiting going on with the team. I'll try to keep an update on that as well.
Logie was put in a tough spot. I think he was one of the last D1 coaches to be hired in the country, because Sprinkle left kind of late, and it just all, you know, he didn't have a lot of time to get a recruiting class together. So if you're looking at this season and you're thinking like, if the talent's not there, just understand he didn't have any really time to recruit a roster that was basically picked over by Sprinkle, and then, you know, hit with some graduations. So there was, you know, he had to piece something together. So we'll see what Logie can really do in recruiting here next year, as the years go forward. But this year, got to give him a little bit of a slack on what he's able to put together.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. Any closing remarks? Hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving going forward. And I'm sure we'll keep an eye on the socials, and we'll give some updates with the games going forward in this week.
I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for the podcast, man. I'm excited to see what you can do with this.
Thanks, guys. And I appreciate you guys for entrusting me, and I'm hoping to grow and kind of first endeavor on this. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. And I think it'll be a ton of fun. I think we'll get to grow, and listeners can reach out obviously on Twitter or Instagram to kind of add comments and stuff. I don't think we're going to do a Cooley section, but if you have a good comment or something like that, or a good topic, we'll definitely bring it up, and it'll be something of interest that I'll definitely try to look forward to. And we'll have some structured segments, I'm sure. But we'll see going forward on that. But without further ado, I get to say it. How about a go Cats?
Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. All right. Thanks, guys.